In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning and happy new year. Today is the first Sunday in 2021. It's January the 3rd, and we are here to worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, who promises to make all things new. And so we certainly pray that we have a good year ahead of us, and it'll be a good year. We already know, because God is with us. And we also know that He makes all things new in our hearts. And so we come before Him this morning to confess our sins. We confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. By the blood of Jesus Christ, forgive us, empower us, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, renew us to live more according to your will. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, amen. Hear this good news for the first time in this new year. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us of all of our sins. As a minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I get to declare that our sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And may the grace of God, the compassion of Christ, and the hope of the Holy Spirit be with you all and also with you. Please bow with me. Gracious God, as we enter into this new year, grant us a daily faith to flee to your strong arms, not just when we're in trouble, but every single day, as we truly need more power than we have on our own. So, Lord, lead us. Lead us to trust you that in doing so, you will hold us fast, even in the midst of the unknowns. This we pray through Christ our Savior. Amen. Well, our New Year's sermon series focuses upon some of the trees in the Bible, Bible trees. And today we'll focus upon the oak, or the oaks of Mamre, as we talk about our mighty oak. Reading is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from his tent entrance to meet them, and he bowed to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they did as he said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quick three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd, took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" He said, "There in the tent." The one said, "I will surely return in the due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years and age. It had ceased to be with her after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah, your wife, laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set of time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh, yes, you did laugh." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as said, today is our New Year's sermon series beginning. We're focusing upon trees in the Bible, and there are quite a variety of trees, woods, branches that can represent many spiritual images for us. Today we uplift the mighty oaks of Mamre as we talk about our mighty oak tree, God our Father. The oaks of Mamre are mentioned three times in the Bible, all in the book of Genesis, and all with reference to Abraham. Thus, there is one super large tree there that still stands today, so to speak, which is referenced as the Oak of Abraham. Mamre is simply a geographic location to identify which oaks in the Bible are being referred to, because there's other oaks, the oaks of Bashan. So saying Mamre would be like us saying today the oaks of Doss, or the oaks of Willow City or Grape Creek. The first account of these oaks is in Genesis chapter 13, where Abraham builds an altar there to God. Then in Genesis 14, it's mentioned that he is camping out there. And today in our story, Genesis 18, he and Sarah are living there when the Lord and two angels visit. This tree line was obviously a favorite place for this patriarchal couple. It more than likely had a water source nearby, plenty of shade, and a feeling of security. Let's lean into three faith points today about the Bible oak tree. First of all, the mighty oak is an image of strength. In the Bible, oaks are associated with power, grandeur, and longevity. With a mature oak, there's a sturdy trunk, strong branches, and a lofty bough. We have a great oak on a family piece of property. It stands about 80 feet high, and it takes both my wife Tammy and I, with our arms stretched out, to reach around it and barely touch each other's fingers on the other side. That's about 12 feet in circumference, and that's not even a real big oak tree by oak standards. The book of Psalms in particular refers to God as our fortress, a high tower, a refuge, a stronghold, a hiding place. The mighty oak offers a formidable presence. As a kid growing up, we were tree climbers. We were like monkeys in the trees. Anytime my mom was looking for us, she could almost always find us hanging out in the trees. Each one of us had a special designated spot on a certain limb that we had claimed for our own. And by rule, you could only be on someone else's spot if they weren't there or if you had their special permission. It's kind of weird to think back, but in my tree, on my private limb, I felt a sense of safety, security, being sheltered. In a similar way, at my grandparents' farm, there was a set of bushes behind the garage that were gigantic, tall as trees. And we kids made a secret hideout there. In that spot, we again felt covered, taken care of, protected in this fort of ours, kind of insulated from the pretend bad guys that we acted like were out there trying to get us. Oaks. Oak trees are hard woods, and the Bible says that they were used in Bible times to manufacture ships, plows, yokes, walking canes, because of their strength. Many times, the Bible says, God is our strength. Psalm 46 states it this way, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble in its tumult. You know, particularly when we feel weak or vulnerable, it's in the cradle of God's arms that we can be made to feel that we are stable and assured. We can flee to God for refuge and safe harbor, even if it's just for 5 minutes with Him. I hate that we have to keep the church locked these days, especially, just overnight and during the day. But in this day and time, with some of the things that we've had to deal with in the past, when it wasn't locked, it just makes it necessary for us to do so. So when someone wants to go into the church and be by themselves with God, they come by the church office, borrow a key. You can do that anytime. There have been a number of times that church members, as well as people off the street, have come to the office to get that key, only to come down and experience a sense of peace, comfort, consolation from being in God's arms, in God's house, to pray or to sit in silence for just 10, 15, 20 minutes. And the thing is, brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't have to be in the church building to be in the sanctuary of our God. It can happen each and every time we turn to Him and climb into His majestic presence, spilling out our needs, our worries, our fears through prayer and being open to His Word. And in that special place and time, the strength of our mighty oak gives us strength. That's faith point number one. Faith point number two, the mighty oak provides a shield of shade. The Bible story says that Abram was by the oaks of Mamre, and that he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. It was a stinking hot day in the desert lands of Israel, a day like most other days, and especially in the heat of the day, you can kind of imagine like a summer day in Texas from noon to 5 p.m., I don't know if any of you remember the dead hot dog days that we experienced this last summer. I think that a couple of those days were well over 100. And several of them even registered 102, 104, 106 with a heat index exceeding 110. If you were outside, the only place you'd want to be was shielded in some shade. And there it was still 98, 99 degrees. Important point taken. The shade removes some of the heat, but not all of the heat. You know, I really think that the smart ones on such oppressively hot days are the cows. I can just see those cows. If there's just one tree in the pasture, they all gather under its cover to find relief from the sun. When the heat is turned up high for us, with a problem, a struggle, a worry, an illness, a fear, whatever it may be, God shields us from the situation. But shielding doesn't necessarily mean removing all of the effects of the issue. Think about the purpose of a battle shield. It serves as an armor to lessen the blow of an arrow or a spear or a knife. Imagine a giant standing over you with a heavy metal sword, and you're hunkered down in a position with a shield raised over your head. When he strikes upon the shield serves to deflect the blow. It absorbs some of the strike, but not all of the shock. I think of the old school episodes of Star Trek with William Shatner as Captain James T. Kirk, and Leonard Nimoy as Spock. When the alien Romulans would attack the starship Enterprise, Kirk would call for the shields to be raised to protect the aircraft from being obliterated. However, when the Romulan phasers hit the shield of the Enterprise, it still caused the crew to be shaken and even fall down at times, and sometimes even incurring damage to the ship. You see, the shield did its job. It deflected the brunt of the blow, but it didn't prevent it from inflicting some pain or injury. Several times, the Bible refers to God as being our shield, meaning He repels the major force of the wallop that we encounter from our areas of this broken life that we live. But God's shield does not insulate us from all of it. I mean, can you just imagine if God's shield wasn't there protecting us and doing what it does, how we would be destroyed? I recall the time in the Bible when Paul asked God to remove a thorn from his flesh, which we don't actually know what it was. It was some sort of issue physically, emotionally, or spiritually. It just wouldn't go away. The Bible does say that it was something from Satan. But the story in 2 Corinthians says that God did not remove the thorn, but He shielded Paul from its full impact. God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My grace will shield you from it bringing devastation on you. My grace will coat you with enough armor to glance the blow so it doesn't destroy you. There are times when God shields us as we rest in the shade of His limbs. He doesn't completely always remove the heat of the battle, but He gives us enough reprieve to know that we can't live without Him, bringing some shield of shade to our lives. That's faith point number two. And faith point number three, the mighty oak provides a reference point. That oak I told you about on our family piece of property is the tallest tree on the acreage. It stands head and shoulders above the others, and it can be seen where other trees, though they are nice trees, are not seen so much. You know, when we used to make regular trips to College Station to see our kids in Aggieland, we knew we were getting close when, lo and behold, about 10 miles outside of College Station, the first thing we could spot was Kyle Field, the football field. This gargantuan football stadium is the fifth largest sports arena in the world. Yes, not just in the country, but in the world. And it stands out from far away. It serves as a reference point that we are getting close to where we want to be. Tradition tells us that within the oaks of Mamre, or the groves of these oaks, there was one tree that was known as Abraham's oak. And I have a feeling that in that Bible story, if you look at it again, a couple of times it's referenced that the visitors, that the Lord and the two angels who came to visit Abraham and Sarah were sitting under a tree. And I have a feeling that was the tree that's being referred to here, is Abraham's oak. It must have been the big one, the biggest one, the nicest one. As he and Sarah would travel, Abraham and Sarah would travel from time to time, it was more than likely that this biggest one in the bunch that towered over all the others could be seen and recognized from far away. You see, God gives us reference points. His Word, the Bible, prayer, Holy Communion, small groups, Sunday school and Bible study, youth groups, acts of service, all these are reference points for us to reset our sights on God. That they are markers for us that point us to our faith, especially when the distractions of life get us off course. I recall being on South Padre Island on many occasions as a child as well as an adult. And we'd be playing in the water or jumping in the waves, tossing a football, maybe doing a little body surfing. After about a half hour of doing those activities, I'd look up and somehow, some way, I had drifted away from where our chairs and ice chest was set up on the beach. The tide, the rip tide, and the currents, which when you're busy doing something else, you can barely feel them pulling you, but they're pulling you further and further away from where you started until you look up and see that you're 100 yards down the island from where your home base is set up. Our mighty oak of God, through the various means mentioned above, even a little book called a quarterly devotional book, or a word that you can pull up on your technology, can provide the reference point of putting God again on our radar screen, particularly at the beginning of the day or the middle of the day or the end of the day. And hopefully it'll then carry us through as the distractions of life have maybe taken us off home base. You see, life brings busyness and distractions, riptides and strong currents that move us away from our faith home base. And without notice, we're off track, we're derailed, and we're going down the wrong path that doesn't lead to God. So thanks be to God for all the ways that He offers to us to stay connected, so that when we look up above the confusion of life and see these reference points that God gives us, our mighty oak is there to give us that strength of being back on track. Speaking of which, all these spiritual resources that we've uplifted as God, thinking of Him as our mighty oak, all of them one, the strength, number two, the shield of shade, and number three, the reference point. All these are only as good and helpful as we make use of them. And in order for God to be our mighty oak, we have to be planted near Him, in Him. It doesn't happen by osmosis. We have to engage. We have to hold on to our mighty oak to receive His strength in our weakness, His shield of shade in the heat of our battles, and His reference point for our lives. In closing, I want to share a story about just how important being near and with our mighty oak is. There was a young man who was promised by his dad that upon graduation from college, if he got a 4.0 GPA, grade point average, the dad would buy him a new truck. And so the son did, in fact, graduate with a perfect A average. At home, a gift wrap box was given to the graduate, who with great anticipation was sure that the something that was in the box had to do with a new truck. Instead, the box contained a Bible. The young man couldn't believe it. A Bible? A Bible? Where are the keys and the title to my new truck? Shouted the young man. I worked so hard on that grade average only to be given a Bible instead of a truck. The dad calmly said, stay near God, keep near God, and you'll figure out your truck. The son was angry, and so he crammed the Bible into the family bookshelf by the fire chimney, and he immediately left home to never return. It was some 15 years later that the father died in a car accident. With great remorse in his heart, the young man did return home for his dad's funeral. Before the service began, he found that Bible that was still in the same place near the chimney where he had stuffed it so many years ago. He opened it to Psalm 23, hoping to hear some words of comfort, especially during his guilt-ridden grief. And right there in that place of the Bible, at Psalm 23, where it says, the Lord is my shepherd, was a check written to him for the full price of a brand new truck 15 years ago. And there was a message in the memo that read, keep near to God, and He will guide your ways. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is vital that we stay near the mighty oak of our God in order for us to receive His strength, His shielding shade, and His reference points as we need in this journey of life. Amen. Amen.